Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and through his Son, our Lord Jesus the Christ. Well, here we are. I know it's not Easter Vigil, which you are normally promised a seminarian, but here I am nonetheless. I have a question for you, a few questions. Do we have the Spirit? And if we do, how have we received it? For the prophet Jeremiah tells us that the heart is above all deceitful. The Holy Gospel gives us the answer to our central question. How do we have the Spirit? Jesus says that the world cannot receive him when he says, "Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him." This should concern all of us. For if you look around, you look in the world and you see in Nashville shootings and murder. In elementary school, children being deceived to be told, "Oh, you were born this way? Don't worry, with just a few pills and a few snips with the scissors, you can change your gender." And also, we can see in the Far East, powers coveting for other lesser powers' land. But that doesn't pertain to you or I. For you might ask this simple-minded, ignorant seminarian, when have I murdered? I haven't gone and shot any schools up. If you have, I recommend you go talk to Pastor after the service. I haven't deceived anybody. I have kept the truth. I have spoke nothing but the truth. And, well, I think the only one that probably pertains to us, if we are to just go by our own thoughts, is covet. You know, as a child, you might have looked at candy in the candy store and said, "Oh, I want that candy. Nobody's looking. I'll go ahead and take it." Or as an adult, you've seen somebody had a better tractor than you, and it's like, "Well, I really love that tractor. Maybe I can convince my neighbor that there's a better tractor and he should sell this to me at a discount price." But then begs the question, why are these qualities in us? These qualities have been installed and hardwired into us by our first parents, Adam and Eve. For it was Adam and Eve that first coveted, first deceived, and first murdered. We hear in the garden that the woman is deceived by the serpent, and she looks at it, and she takes the fruit and eats. Why? Not because only, "Oh, it looks good," but it had the knowledge of God, had the knowledge of good and evil. And the woman and Adam, despite plenty of us guys saying, "Oh, he was obviously off, let's be real with ourselves, he was standing right next to her," took it and ate because they coveted God's knowledge. They wanted the knowledge. And what did they do when God came and confronted them? Well, God went to Adam first, and he said, "Yes, I did it, but don't look at that. Look at what the woman, whom, let me remind you, you gave to me. It's your fault, God. It's not mine." Now you might think, well, last time I checked, Adam didn't kill God. He didn't kill Eve. But Christ does tell us about if you hate your brother slash neighbor, you have murdered them in your heart. When Adam speaks this to God, let's be honest, it's not, "Oh God, whom I love, the woman who you gave me," she did it. It was more so of, "God, the woman that you gave me, you, not me, you gave me, she ate." Adam was angry because he knew the punishment that would come. He knew that if he ate, he would die, and he did not want this punishment. Now, plenty of you might still be wondering, well, those are those people, those aren't us. We don't murder, we don't, as far as I know, you all seem like decent folk. We don't deceive people, but we don't have to look far. No, we do not have to look far at all to see the victim of our actual transgressions. For we have murdered, we have deceived ourselves, and we have coveted power that is not ours. For the prophet Isaiah tells us, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." You know, who is this man that the prophet Isaiah speaks of that we have crushed and pierced? Well, it couldn't be Christ because none of us were alive for the courtyard. None of us were there. It was those Jews and Romans that yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." But we know, as St. Paul tells us, that through the sin of one man entered the whole world. So we were there. We are guilty of saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for us as a people? You know, if it was a bad day, if it was an evil day, why do we call it Good Friday? Why, if we have murdered the Son of God, why is it good? You see, it is good because Christ needed to die. He desired to die for us murderers, us deceivers, and us coveters. My favorite saying, and I do believe, forgive me, Genesis, when it talks about Joseph, what we meant for evil, God meant for good. For Christ did die and rose for us. For since it is still Eastertide, we do get to say, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed. Amen.
And since he has been risen, we have the Spirit. St. Paul tells us, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So, brothers and sisters, how do we have the Spirit? That question still looms for us. Christ again tells us, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." God sends the Spirit in many forms. But in the one form, we know and we see, we saw it this past Sunday through baptism. We receive the Spirit through baptism. How do we know this? Because St. Peter proclaimed it in Acts when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He sends us the Spirit to know that we have the Spirit. He sends us the Spirit to help us remember and know that he has won us from sin, death, the devil, and of this world. Christ said, "You are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world." So when I was prepping this sermon, I was scouring for one famous hymn I know in LSB. I figured it probably had to be in TLH2. And if you look, you don't have to look now, but at the very end, the last hymn is 660, which says, "I am but a stranger here, and heaven is my home." Now, there might be some theological question behind it, but for the text of today, that is important because where heaven is, Christ is. Where Christ is, we are. So how else do we see the gifts of the Spirit? What is another gift of the Spirit? The gift of the Spirit is new sight. Now, again, you might ask, you can see there's lots of questions in here, but how do we have new sight? You know, you look around, everything seems normal. You know, you look at your hand, you rub it, well, it seems normal, seemed like it was before I was baptized. How do we have new sight? We have new sight because we can see Christ everywhere. You see Christ in the font. You see Christ when pastor is reading the text. You see even Christ when we have communion. I know it's not a communion Sunday, but when you do and you look, you will see Christ there. How do we know Christ is there? He has promised to be there. He has promised to be wherever His word is. How do we know Christ is the word then? Because obviously, Jesus' name isn't Word or the Word. His name is Jesus. But we know He is the Word because in the beginning of John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is Christ. Through Him has everything been made. Through Him we can see everything new. We can look at each other, those of us that are in the faith, and we can see Christ. Because Christ does say, "On that day, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." This is to each and every one of you, to pastor, and even to me, a wicked sinner that has been redeemed. Christ is in me. How do we know that Christ is in us other than just by His word, since we are still simple, stinking, sinful human beings? By our works. We can look at each other, and when we do good works, when we help our neighbor, when we do not deceive, nor covet, nor murder, our neighbor can see the good works in us, which are given to us by Christ, which are done through us by Christ and the Holy Spirit. But when we sin, our brothers and sisters in us look and be like, "What? If this person is a son of God, then why do they sin?" Well, that's why we must strive not to do sins. I know it's hard, but Christ does call us to stop doing our sins. Now, brothers and sisters, what else are we to do with this Spirit since we have it in us? Other than just do good works. You know, we can keep on doing that self-managing and just do good works. You can keep on being told to do good works. But what else is there to do? The main thing that left is to do is believe and keep the course. Now, truth be told, you could just go back and say, "You know what? I don't need the Spirit. I don't like the Spirit. You know, this life is too rigorous, too hard. It's not fun," as they say in today's age. It's not fun. Well, it's not just even in this age. It's in throughout all mankind. It's not fun. So you could go back. You could strangle the Spirit and go back to your old spirit. And what would you be going back to? Well, turn on the news and you would see what type of life you'd be leading. You'd just be leading a life of sin, death, and pain. You could deceive people and amass great wealth, and you would be great amongst the nations. You could gain the whole world if you just do the one simple thing and just forfeit your soul. You could do that, or keep the course. Keep the faith. Keep running to Christ, who has the ultimate victory. For Christ didn't just die and rise and go away. No, He died, rose, and went among us and keeps us in the faith. He begs us to stay in the faith, because if we go away, well, yeah, you might have many victories right now, but at the end, what do those victories amount to? Nothing. Not even a hill of beans. It doesn't amount to anything. It just amounts to death. Yes, you might have life now. You might be breathing. But at the end, you're gone. You're no more. And you're forgotten. But if you keep Christ, you have for eternity. You have eternity. If you keep the faith, you will. Let me make sure I don't say this wrong, or you might call me Joel Osteen and throw me out the doors. But if you keep the faith, you have the final reward. You have the new creation. You have Christ. You have Christ. each other. I especially like this text that I was received today, and it seems proper of all days, for it's my last day with you this academic year. I will depart from you, but not to equate myself to Christ, because I am nothing like him, I am less than him, but Christ departed, and I am too to depart from you, but as Christ says, I will return to you. You know, the world won't see him, you guys won't see me, but as Christ promises, I am coming back. And as far as I know, the academic dean nor the dean of students haven't told me you're not coming back next year. I promise to be back here. I am coming again. So you can keep that with you. If it helps you keep the faith. Sorry. It's first sermon. I will be back and hold it to you as Christ is coming back. And if it helps remind you of Christ, it will keep you through. It's kept me through all my life. I know it's not a long life, as some of you, but it's a long life nonetheless, and I remember, even in the down times, that Christ is coming. Even though we can't see him, we do. Even though you don't see me, you know I'll be back. Despite you guys being Ohio State fans. But I will miss you guys. I know I'm turning this into an announcement and not a sermon. Forgive me, Pastor. But to wrap this all up, we do have the Spirit because we look at one another. We look at the font that has conveniently the cross on it. We look at the altar and we see the cross, and right above it, we see the one that has told the Father to give us the Spirit. Not because we deserve it, not because of our works, but because of Christ loves us. He has sent this to us. Therefore, eagerly go out and tell all about this great gift. Tell them that Christ has died for them and risen for them. And if they believe, they too will have eternal life. We remember this all in the name of the risen Lord, who is risen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Please rise for the offertory. Thank you.